Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed.
Oh.
Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
Joe Spiker and his team have got you covered the way they had Danny covered when he had a roof problem, the way they had me covered when I had a roof problem. Easton Roofing, integrity matters. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. Educating you about every possible solution. Sometimes it's just a repair. Yeah, did you know that? Other roofing companies will just tell you, I got to have a new roof. We'll have your insurance pay for it. Not how it works. With Joe Spiker and his crew. Absolutely the best in the business. Get them up on your roof. Free inspection, a free estimate. They'll be happy to do that for you. If your roof's been battered around, just not sure, let them take a look. They'll be happy to give you the full report and tell you every possible solution that you can possibly have. Over 1,300 jobs done last year. You can go right now to the Next Door app and see they're voted a neighborhood favorite. Check out their Google reviews. Online, it's EastonRoofing.com. That's EastonRoofing.com. Danny, how the hell are you?
Doing just fine, Seren. Just wading through the extended explanation of Andy Reid's conversation with Willie Gay about becoming active for the game.
What do you think about that? I was saving that one to talk about with you. I had a conversation with somebody else about how that has gone over the last couple of days amongst the media asking. I brought it up today with Anthony Hitchens, if he had reached out to him. I think there was only one other question. I think Sam McDowell asked the other question about it. But for the most part, nobody else really going there. I was a little surprised there wasn't more than just two of us asking that question.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things I think that sometimes maybe people have, you know, grown weary of trying. I mean, they know they're going to get some stammering non-answer about anything controversial from Andy Reid. And I don't think another thing is, as a reporter, you're there, I think, to serve the fan base. And the fan base doesn't seem to have much real care about these type of things or, you know, Damon Arnett or whatever. So, I don't know. I think there's probably a little fatigue from the reporters. You don't have a lot of questions with the ability to ask because of Zoom, and it wasn't the most horrific thing in the world, but still, some guy who apparently allegedly went into the mother of his child's apartment and tore it up. I mean, it's not good.
No, it's definitely not good. I mean, I don't know. What do we know? Did he That's, Jeff Chedia said this to me, and I thought, Jeff's a wise man. I thought he made a great point. He said, absent video, what do we have here? If you saw a video and, he had this vacuum raised over his head, like it was brandishing it like a weapon, he'd be like, oh, my God, that's appalling, right?
Well, if he busted up a vacuum cleaner, I mean, you got to do something that would look pretty rough.
The flip side is,
according to the police report, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, the flip side of that is, like, did he just kick it on his way out the door? Right? Like, okay, he's upset. All right, enough of this. I'm on my way out. Here's his vacuum, and he kicks it in a break. I mean, Willie, he's a large man and a tremendous athlete. If he, it probably doesn't take much for him to bust a vacuum. Right? And like, was it shattered into a million pieces? Or is it like, oh, he got the motor and, I don't know what the hell makes a vacuum run. I don't know what kind of vacuum it is, right? A $200 one, apparently there's that. And what was there, a humidifier?
Yeah, cell whatever. Phone, some other stuff, yeah.
I mean, was there a bunch of stuff sitting there and it was one big hit or cleared it off and all those things got broken at once? Or I don't know. That's why I think Jeff's point was a good one. If we saw the video, we'd probably have a better idea of what this all means. Like what was the situation like? But the fact that the woman wasn't hurt is the most important part of the equation.
Right, of course. That's very important. But apparently video doesn't matter much because we've got some rather compelling video of Damon Arnett. And Chiefs decide to go sign him. So,
well, and that,
especially the time. I don't know if they had to do it now or they'd lose the chance to sign the guy. I don't know, but the only thing that really bothers me in these situations, and it is not the individual act or whatever, it's subsequently down the line when we have to hear about at the draft that he's a good character guy and, you know, whatever, he loves football and all that hoo-ha. You know, they're trying to build an NFL football team. Clearly, they just care about the fact that Damon Arnett was a talented enough football player to be a number one draft choice, and now he's available because of his own misdoing. And it wasn't just that. He's got a, you know, rap sheet as long as his arm.
Well, we talked about this last night, Jeff and Chidi and Eager and I, on our 2D podcast, and it doesn't look good. I mean, there's with the Willie Gay thing in one
hand. No, and also you got Frank Clark on your team, and this guy was, I don't know what that gun was he was wielding, but it wasn't a cap pistol, that's for sure.
I mean, it looked like a cannon. Let's not talk about the gun, because every time I mention the gun, I'm immediately attacked by somebody explaining to me how, almost like what I would call mansplaining to me, how I'm mischaracterizing the gun. I've had it both ways. I feel like I've done my job, because I've been hit with somebody who was all over me that I was not, you know, severe enough in the kind of weapon. There's no earthly reason to have this kind of weapon. I had somebody else telling me to calm down. It's not that big a deal. It's only a blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, I guess I got it right then, if I'm somewhere in between you two.
Well, all I know is it's big. Is that good enough?
Well,
it's a big gun.
Yeah,
I'm not. I don't think I'm. You know, trying to go into the specifics of.
I thought it was an Uzi.
It looked like one.
I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, the people who, you know, collect guns, like guns, whatever, they're going to say, well, this is, you know, you can use this at the target range or whatever. Who cares? He's got a gun.
He broke the law. He broke the bottom line is you live in a country with laws, and if you break the law, you pay the price. And that's, you know, he broke the law. The Clark thing is kind of old news.
Right, sure.
You know, the Willie Gay and then Arnett right behind it.
I know, it's a terrible look, and it's just another distraction that the Chiefs have generally been able to overcome, and it's just a bad look. And the only reason I think about it is that, first of all, if Andy Reid didn't act like he was high, when he gives an answer the way he gives it, it's as if there's a lot more going on. If he's just like forthright and says, there's an investigation pending on this, he's eligible to play football, he's going to play on Sunday. Period. Instead of going,
I'm your dad. You know I'm pissed at the question. Don't push it. Kind of answer. I agree with you. I don't think he does the best way. And my kid one of my girls are in trouble and they know they're in trouble, they'll be like, well, dad. And I'm like, well, you think this is what we're gonna do? Listen, I said this is what it's gonna be, and this is what it's gonna be. Right? Like, I mean, you know, that's the mindset. You know, that I kind of hear there, and it's like, no, wrong timing, because the media member asking you the question ain't your child, and you know you don't have final say on it. So, you know, that I don't think he does himself a favor with that. You know, not that Andy Reid's asking my opinion, probably doesn't care. No. I think he's been around long enough, but it's clear. I think they feel like we've had enough success, we can sign this guy. I do want to defend them on this. If you believe people deserve a second chance and everyone's got an explanation, I don't know what explanation it would be that is a positive. But if the man's like, I got no explanation, you know, this was the wake-up call I needed, and, you know, I've got my life together. I don't know. I'm sure they've done a background on him. But it's a big difference just signing a guy off the street and putting a first-round pick into him. And I also want to point out, I said this last night, you know, yes, we think of, you know, they brought in Frank Clark, or DeAndre Baker had, you know, past, you know, issues, and, you know, so therefore Damon Arnett's going to be on this team, because they definitely do like going after other people's failed first round corners. We know that. But Antonio Callaway was a first round talent that went in the second or third round of the Browns as a wideout, and the Chiefs brought him into camp last year. Now, there'd been another team in between, which I'd always rather be the third team, really, than the second team. But, you know, they brought him into camp, and they cut him. Like, just because Damon Arnett has been signed here doesn't mean he's on this team.
That's true. It's however the wording is, it's a futures contract. I'm really
the
not
optics
making,
were poorly timed.
Right.
Yeah, it just sucks.
And there is video. That's the thing. And this one, a video that's appalling. I mean, it's just appalling behavior, no matter what you want to talk about. I mean, he's talking about shooting, apparently, some young guy who was giving him trouble on Instagram or something. You know, he's going to shoot him. And he was clearly, well, to me, well under the influence of something. So, anyway, who's to say? Let's talk football. Let's talk football because that's all they care about.
No, I'm glad you brought it up because I've saved this for you because I knew you'd go down that road. No, I think it's of note. I think it's, you know, I think the timing's poor, but I think it's something you need to file away. Like, are they now, you know, staring at the cap going, we're not going to get a talent like this because we're going to be cutting a lot of guys. So we got to compromise here and go ahead and take another, what we like to call around here, because Herm Edwards taught us the term, a my guy. And, you know, Curtis had this as a topic and we never got to it, but like, I think Willie Gay has entered that category now, hasn't
he? I would say, you know, he was upfront about having some issues earlier in the year, and he has some past issues, and now we've got this. And so, yeah, I think it's something that, you know, he's... What was the phrase that player at risk? Whose phrase was that?
I don't know.
Oh, wasn't that Scott Pioli's with Jared Allen? Wasn't that it? A player at risk, something like that?
Anyway, my point here, though, is Herm Edwards, I said, well, how many, you know, he talked about when he told us
my
that.
Yeah,
the my guys, he's like, Dale Carter was my guy. I mean, Marty told me, you are in charge of him. Make sure he stays out of trouble. And I said, well, how many my guys can you have? No hesitation. Didn't think about it. Didn't mull it. Just immediate answer. Two. I go, that's it, two? He goes, two. You can have two my guys. You can't keep track of 20, 10. He said, two. He said, I spent a lot of time making sure I was on top of where Dale Carter was. And he said, you can't. You know, you're assigning a lot of time, you know, on that. Now, you know, how many guys on this team would you call my guys right now?
Well, I think that there's some guys who may have passed the my guy situation.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill probably was a my guy at one point in time. Seems like he's down the road from that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Travis Kelce was probably a my guy at one point.
Yeah, I would say Clark and Willie Gay is 1-2. I don't think there's any way you could have a second weapons charge.
Right.
After you've already been busted once, you're like, okay, that was the wake-up call I needed. Clearly not.
Right.
Right? So I think, you know, and I do think that's of note. I think that's why I'm with you. Like, people want to talk football. Well, I mean, Marty Schottenheimer tanked the team. Tim Grunhard's told us. I mean, Marty Schottenheimer was so desperate to get over the hump that they started taking any talent, regardless of where it was. And he had Tamrick Vanover and, what was it, Wayne Simmons?
Yes.
Was that the
mm-hmm.
linebacker? Mm-hmm. He had too many of those guys. And a guy like Derek Thomas, who was a guy, a fun-loving guy, but, you know, would kind of roll with wherever things were going. He didn't get into any trouble off the field as far as, you know, violent crimes, but he started becoming kind of an ass on the field when surrounded by other asses. And that's when the
Monday night
meltdown happened. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it is something you have to keep an eye on. So I think it's worthwhile to discuss it. I don't think they're there on the field right now, but throw in Arnett and, you know, we'll see. I think the bigger issue to me on the Willie Gay thing is, and I think Steve Spagnuolo just doesn't, from what I understand, I talked to some people and they're like, you know, Spagnuolo's an all football guy, but he knows all his players. When I asked him about, like, you know, the tweet that Willie Gay sent out that said, you know, love y'all, but my mental health is all effed up right now.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I hadn't heard that, but I talk to Willie all the time and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm glad he does talk to Willie because I know he's a respected guy. But, I mean, that's the bigger issue to me. Like, if you verbalize that, that's a cry for help.
Yeah. Yes.
And if you verbalize that, like, that's something that we can't be like, you know, I believe the Chiefs are doing more than what Andy Reid's answer is, that they're like, oh, we're done with it. He told us what happened and we're all good. I'm sure there's more going on. There better be, because it's, you know, I had this last night, you know, Jovan Belcher happened here, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's the worst case scenario has played out in this city not that long ago.
No, I was taken aback when I heard Spagnuolo say he hadn't heard about that. I find that difficult to believe that he had not heard about that with one of his own players. And when I heard it, I was listening to it, and I just went, really? Out loud to no one in particular.
And frankly, I thought his Spagnuolo's answer yesterday was almost worse than Andy Reid's stammering around, because it almost seemed like a calculated way to put eyewash on Willie Gay by saying, you know, he's had a baby, and we wish him the best with that and hope everything works out for the best. You know, like,
we're rooting for you, kid.
Yeah, we're rooting. Yeah, you've had a baby, and, you know, what makes people feel better than, you know, some player has a new baby?
Well, there's been complications with the child.
Yeah.
That's I have at least learned that, so I think there's more stress there with that.
Sure.
Anyway,
Willie Gay's playing football on Sunday, and
he. Well, no, but one more thing on him.
Okay, sure.
Before we move off, because I mentioned this, I want to know your thoughts on it. I mean, this is where the football machinery of whenever you start becoming good and they take notice. I'll call it high school and college football. Willie Gay grew up in Starkville, and this is also the fact that he grew up in Starkville, Mississippi. Played college football in Starkville, Mississippi. He's lived a very sheltered life. Not sheltered as in, like, everything's been great and paid for him, like you would normally throw that around. But sheltered that he's lived in this little cocoon of comfort, of I know Starkville, Mississippi. And then he's thrown into the NFL world. And I don't think he's prepared to handle, like, when you talk about the baby thing, like, I don't think he's ready for that. I don't think he's ready for, you know, the way, you know, the dating world works when you're a big, rich, star NFL athlete.
Right.
You know, he understands it on the college level. But then when there's money in your pocket as well, your name, image, and likeness in college may help guys be better prepared for the NFL, because now they're also going to be rich guys in college, not just famous guys in college. They're going to be rich now with the NIL down there. Maybe they'll be better prepared now for the NFL. It won't be such a shock to the system. But I do think that's one where the NFL industry can take a look at themselves, and they're running around and not letting anybody talk to the media, and only the head coach can talk. They create these kinds of individuals that are not ready for the real world.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And he's been a star athlete all along the way in that same setting too.
Yeah.
And then he goes elsewhere, and eventually he's become a factor for the Chiefs, but for a while there he wasn't really playing. And probably feeling like he was a bit of a disappointment and whatever.
Well, but you know what would have been best? You know, whenever whatever happened at Mississippi State, do you think Mississippi State rolled him right out there for the media to talk to? No. He didn't answer the music that day. He answered to his coach, right? Are the Chiefs going to wheel him out there? Are we going to talk to Willie Gay at any point?
Till
when? When will be the next time that he's available?
Training camp.
Yeah.
He will not answer the music to anybody but his coach. And I know coaches think, that's the hardest thing he's got to do. No, it's not.
You know what?
Face it publicly will be the hardest thing he has to do. And you guys are covering for him on that.
We thought we'd hear from Frank Clark sometime in training camp. And it didn't happen until, week 7 of the regular season? When did it come out? So, no.
Right.
Not for a while.
And by the way, the team did not melt when he did.
Right. Amazingly.
You know, I mean... So anyway, all right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get more into the football side of things with Danny Klingskill. It's Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing, handling the entire metro, including Lawrence and Topeka. Find them online right now at eastonroofing.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
You ever quote anything besides statistics, Vulcan?
Yes, but philosophy and poetry are not appropriate here.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. What is the only current NFL franchise that has never lost a postseason game at home? And it's not a team that hasn't played one. All 32 franchises have hosted at least one postseason game. One team has never lost.
I wonder, is that the Jags? It's got to be one of the more recent ones, doesn't it?
Nope. This team goes all the way back to the beginning.
Well, that's probably the Cardinals, because they never get in.
It is the Cardinals. They are 5-0, including their 1947 win over the Eagles in the NFL championship game when they were the Chicago Cardinals. They never played a home playoff game in St. Louis. 28 seasons, zero home playoff games.
What is their God, that is just, oh, my Lord. Them and the Lions are just absolute trash. I mean, they are professional sports trash. How many playoff games have the Cardinals had? Like, I heard something like in their whole, like, 100-year history.
They have
like
played
17 games or something?
11 on the road, 5 at home, 1 in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, 17. Nice memory.
In like 100 years.
Yeah.
They're the only NFL team I can ever remember trying to tear down the goalpost because they won a playoff game with Jake Plummer back in what, like 97, 98?
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
That was their first win in 41 years.
Kansas fans were laughing at that.
Yeah. But imagine from 1960 to 1987, 28 years, no home playoff games. They only played 3, period. All, obviously, all were on the road, but that's a barren wasteland.
Cliff Kingsbury is terrible. Do you agree, Danny?
Well, he seems to get into a pattern with all his football teams where there's some success early in the season and then it fades away.
Did you hear Curtis's numbers?
No, I don't think I did. But
funny that you mentioned that.
I'm sort of aware of the fact that his teams at both at Texas Tech and
since 2013, Danny, his first 7 games, he carries a 685, isn't it, Curtis?
Yeah.
685 win percentage. What do you think he does after that with both Texas Tech and the Cardinals?
390.
No, it's like 270.
Here it is. Talking about Kingsbury, 675, and then 274. 42-20-1 compared to 17-45.
And his 3 years with the Cardinals, he's finished losing like 5 of 6, mm-hmm. like 6 of 7, and like,
5 of 6 this year, I think it was also.
Yeah, it's staggering how bad they are. We looked it up. Andy Reid goes from like a 685 to a 706. Like, he has almost the exact same record as Andy Reid. It's like one half game difference.
Yeah, it is 42-20-1 compared to 43-20. Reid,
right? And then,
after game
and then
7, 68-28, including 30-5 the last 3 years. One of those, a game in which he didn't play as starters.
Trying to win, right?
Yeah. He's got. That's in this, and then also in his finishing kick with the Chiefs, which, and that's what we measured with Andy Reid, was how he finished the same time period from 13 on, so it's his whole tenure with the Chiefs. He's had 4 games that haven't mattered that he mailed in, and he's 2-2 in those with the backups. I mean,
including Mahomes' first career start.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. 2 Chase Daniels, a Mahomes, and a Henny. And, it's ridiculous.
And Mahomes lost.
No, Mahomes won.
No, Mahomes won.
Did he win?
Yeah. Henny lost. Mahomes won.
I thought he
won.
Played well and he lost.
And they lost. No, remember, they took him out with a big lead. The Broncos, they brought in, Tyler Gray
fumbled.
Pick and a fumble. Oh, and they went, back in there. And he drove them to a game-winning touchdown. And one of the 2 early Chase Daniel games, they win, but they missed a field goal late in the game that would have given them the win. They lost in overtime. So, something along that line. So
he was 1-1 with one. Yeah, he was 1-1 with Chase Daniels, and then he won with Mahomes and lost with Henny. So he's 2-2 in those 4.
Yeah.
So, but it could have been, like Curtis said, he could have been 3-1 in those games. How about this one? I think this is staggering. The postseason touchdown record. I don't think this is getting enough. Maybe we'll see a lot of it on the television screen with this game on Sunday night. All-time postseason. Well, this is just funny. It bears, putting out there. Postseason touchdown passes, Danny. Who's number 1?
Brady, I assume.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'm going to tell you that Aaron Rodgers can make history with a touchdown pass on Saturday night because it's Aaron Rodgers is tied with Joe Montana in 2nd with 45. How many does Brady have in 1st?
He's played a million games. 75?
85 touchdowns. Wow. He has almost lapped the field on 2nd place. I think that's amazing. What I also think is amazing is Patrick Mahomes has been in the playoffs 18, 19, 20, and now in 21. Where does he rank and how many does he have?
Oh, I think he's already something like ninth, isn't he? And he doesn't he have 25?
Right. He is not ninth. You ruined it, Danny. Could you be like, oh, I don't know, 50th? Has he got eight? No, Danny, you jackass. He's 17th all time already, and he's got 22. Coming into this year, obviously because he threw five, he was tied with Warren Moon for 24th place at 17. He throws five. He passed. In just one game, Eli Manning, Matt Hasselbeck, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica, Steve Young, Matt Ryan, and Jim Kelly.
Well, he's pretty good. I mean,
yeah, but this, I mean, that was their whole career. He's 26.
Right, I know. But, you know, they're playing in the playoffs every year, and they're not losing many games, and it's a different time, too. You're going to throw more touchdown passes. I'm not saying it's not, you know, not to give them credit or anything, but, you know, they don't go one and done right now. They play, you know.
Okay. Let me add some more context. He's unlikely to throw five touchdowns again. They'll probably hang his – last week it was 2.5 touchdowns, I think was his – is over under. Maybe they'll bump it on up to 3, maybe 3.5. I don't know. But, you know, if he would throw five, here's the list of guys he will pass: Troy Aikman, Roger Staubach, Donovan McNabb, Russell Wilson, Joe Flacco, and he'll tie John Elway and be in 11th place.
Pretty remarkable.
I mean, it is. And I bring that up because I want people to enjoy the ride. And I don't think there's enough enjoying the journey right now when two of my first three calls on Monday were the Chiefs have got to stop with the stupid penalties. They had 3 for 25 in a 42-21 game where Patrick Mahomes threw five touchdowns for 405 yards. And the next one was the corners are too handsy, and that's a problem. Again, in a game that they smoked the Steelers.
The only similar thing that I could say if I was a caller is that Can we explain now something that is absolutely a pattern? The Chiefs, every playoff game, start badly. Everyone. I mean, that's not good. I mean, it's amazing that they can just sort of shrug it off like lint or dandruff off their shoulder. But what the hell? It's every time.
They didn't start poorly against Buffalo last year, did they?
They were down 9-0.
They gave the field goal, and then Mecole Hardman fumbled the punt.
That's right.
And they punched it in and then missed the extra point, and then the Chiefs went.
It's probably one.
Cleveland. They were up on Cleveland because Mahomes went out,
but, I mean,
and they hung on for 22-17.
I wasn't saying basically, virtually. I mean, it is.
No, but that's it. I think you can say that. I mean, I wasn't trying to prove you wrong.
No,
I actually think you're dead on. I don't know what would you think the reason is?
I was doing a podcast the other day and I said, I don't know. I can't. I'm lost. I can't believe they can. Could they be coming in flat? Are they flat? Are they nervous?
Yeah.
Are they probing? I don't know. I think it could be a. I think at first it looked to me like Mahomes would overthrow guys, and I think he was a little amped up at first, but I think he's probably over that part. I don't know. I don't have an explanation. It doesn't make for a great in-depth analysis. All I know is it happens every time. And let's face it, if they had a worthy opponent last week, not that they couldn't have overcome it because they've overcome just about everything, they would have been down way more than 7-0, that's for sure. I mean, if they do that against the Bills, they'll likely be down 16-17. Would that be a death sentence? Of course not. We've seen that before. But it's still not a good pattern, and it'd be nice to shake it up once or twice here soon.
So what do you think is going to happen in the game, Danny?
I think the game boils down to whether the Bills can run the football the way they've been running it, besides Josh Allen. I think if they can't, if the Chiefs are able to prevent that from happening and have them possess the football more than the Chiefs, keep the Chiefs off the field, hold them to 8 or 9 possessions. I like the Chiefs' chances very, very much, and I'm picking the Chiefs anyway. But that's the Bills' route to victory for me. I think the Chiefs obviously have played them before and were, had their face shoved in it, and they should be wildly ready to play, but you can mute that a little bit by being able to run the football, and we've seen that happen against the Chiefs. Now we've seen the Chiefs be a different kind of defensive team in the playoffs, and but if they come out and Singletary can't establish much, my confidence level for the Chiefs winning the game goes way, way up. And I'm not saying that the Bills absolutely would win the game if they, but if they ran, if they run for 140, 150 yards, I think the Bills can will win. But I don't expect them to do that.
I kind of do, and I don't think it means a whole lot. I think the Chiefs, when I heard Anthony Hitchens say today, we gave up explosive plays in the pass game, and we've got to take that away. I think they're like, yeah, go ahead, 4 yards, 5 yards, it's zero on the board, right? Like, we're not giving up the Dan Sorensen, Dawson Knox touchdown this time.
Well, you can't just run the ball between the 20s and not score. I'll say that.
Well, I mean, I think the Chiefs have looked at it. I said to Curtis, I think they're willing to give up a field goal on every possession. And I think that their view of it is they're going to score between 21 and 30 points, and we're going to get more than that on offense. If it's a 10-possession game, it means the Chiefs are clipping along, and they get 30. You know, if you're grinding it on the ground, if all you're doing is running between the 20s, you're probably not going to get to 10 possessions. And so 3 each time, the Chiefs offense leads the league at this was several weeks ago. Jason Anderson told me, I think it was 2.7 points per possession. You know, so it sounds like, well, if they get 3 every time, they'll beat the Chiefs. I'm like, I think the Chiefs will have more than that in this. You know, I think it's one of the things that is going to be remembered after this is that, like, well, what the hell does being the number one defense matter? Because the Chiefs just hung 30 whatever on this team.
Right. Well, I guess my prescription basically for anybody, but for a team like the Bills, is that they run the ball effectively. They only give the Chiefs 8 possessions. The Chiefs, and what your goal has to be is maybe 2 punts and a turnover. Chiefs score 5 times, hold them to 1 field goal. That's 31. Maybe hold them to 2 field goals, and you got a chance.
Right.
But I agree that the Chiefs look like they're going to be at – but the other part is, are the Chiefs going to come around and fart around for 25 minutes before they kick it in? And then maybe they only have the ball 4 or 5 times the rest of the game after falling behind. So
do you think the offense is back?
Yeah, I never think it goes far away. Let's put it that way. So it doesn't go out to the doghouse. I mean, it only goes out in the backyard.
Yeah, I think they've been viewing the shell since the 49ers and the Super Bowl, and I think they've like, okay, this is it. Now we're in our rhythm. You're not stopping us. We have it. And I think especially when DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, and Mecole Hardman are catching the ball, I think the other team is screwed.
Right, and Pat. Hey, Patrick Mahomes had to learn a little bit about the joys of, I saw a quote this week from, his best friend from when he was a kid. And it was, Patrick hates the check down. Well, he had to embrace the check down because it's still fun if you throw a cross or a check down and then one of your guys runs for 30 more yards. That's fun.
Yeah. And he doesn't have a problem with the underhand little shovel for a touchdown.
Yeah, but that's a touchdown. I guess that he considers that more fun than he used to out on the field. Yeah.
Well, I think when Jerick McKinnon is catching 6 balls for 81 yards and a touchdown, the Chiefs are unstoppable.
I completely agree with that, and I almost think it would have been a bit of a blessing if Clyde Edwards-Helaire had come up lame this week.
And he is officially not on the Chiefs injury report. He has no designation,
for whatever reason, there's not much temptation. That Jerick McKinnon should be the feature back Sunday, period. Period. But I don't think he's going to be necessarily, but he should be.
The way Andy Reid uses his running backs, I would agree. if Andy Reid were more like the Patriots, or we do the we got this guy for this thing and this guy for this thing and this guy for this thing. But Andy Reid doesn't. He wants everybody to be able to do everything. He said it to me today.
Yeah,
I asked him,
asked him specifically about it.
How do you do it? I asked him, you know, all right, so I know you got all the flavors. Like, how much do you have to keep track of who's in there so you get the right flavors? He goes, we make the plays so that they can work for everybody, and everybody knows the play so they can get in there, and then when they we call it, their own flavor shows through. It's like, okay, that's interesting. I mean,
yeah, I don't think that's great, to be honest, but who am I to? I think having, you know, a third down back, is there's nothing wrong with that, and having a, you know, power guy who, you know, it's good between the tackles. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if you got Derrick Henry, yeah, he can do all those things. Yeah. But they don't.
McKinnon gave you a little Damian Williams.
Right.
I mean, that not just the ability to be shifty, but when you make the cut, take off and, well, and beat guys to the point.
We've heard all the, what was it, Brian Mitchell's and all those things. Or who was that the guy they were comping? Clyde Edwards-Helaire, too. Who was the shorter halfback yet in Philly?
They've had
Brian
more
Westbrook.
Than one, but
Brian Westbrook. Yeah, Brian Westbrook. But everyone
Brian,
was comping
Brian
that.
Mitchell was one, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, too. But McKinnon is the guy who looks like him.
Yeah.
Like, that's
Clyde does not run away from anyone.
Clyde's more Joe Morris. He's more, you know, I mean, I'm surprised that he hasn't been better in the passing game. But you need to acknowledge it. And go with the hot hand. I'm with you. McKinnon would get the first call. I don't like when people are like, I'm done with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Well, that's ridiculous because he is a talent, right? It just right now McKinnon's better, so play him. It doesn't
mean McKinnon's
that you have to
biggest problem.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Sorry, McKinnon's biggest problem is just being healthy. Well, he's healthy right now, so play him because he might well get hurt. So he might
right
well,
until he gets
might
hurt.
As well just play him.
Yeah.
Yeah, get everything out of him while you can. All right, we'll take a break. More with Danny Klingscale, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Joe Spiker and his great team are the best in the business. If you've got any questions about your roof, ask them with Easton Roofing. Call 913-257-5426, commercial and residential. The entire metro, including Lawrence and Topeka. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. That is Easton Roofing. Find them online at eastonroofing.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
What the hell are you doing, fat ass?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Little Danny unleashed on a frigid Friday. Brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing, integrity matters. You can find them online at eastonroofing.com. No payment collected. Until you're 100% satisfied, the folks that have been up on Danny's roof, fixed his roof, fixed my roof. That's Easton Roofing. Joe Spiker and his team are the best in the business. Find out for yourself. Call 913-257-5426. Danny, what do you make of this Jayhawks team? I mean, it does not seem to be getting into any kind of rhythm, yet here it is still atop the Big 12 standings.
Well, I think it's a great coaching job. Ha-ha. Real reach there by Bill Self so far. They're great.
But
they're great at the end of games, and he's usually good for a basket or two or three that, created off inbounds plays that can be the difference in a game. No, they haven't really found a rhythm, and you know, when David McCormick plays good basketball, they're a really fine team. But that has happened about three times this year, and you know they're. So you can't count on it necessarily. They're also in a quandary, I think, about the fact that DeJuan Harris probably makes the team run better when he's in there than Remy Martin. But Bill Self is adamant that Remy Martin brings something that nobody else can bring to the table. Yes. So, yeah, I think they're still a work in progress, but they're a work in progress that wins games and has pulled out a couple of close ones recently, or we'd be talking about a bit of a funk.
The one thing they don't seem to ever do is do what Baylor did. And they're good. They don't lose back-to-back games on their home court like that. I mean, no one ever had done what the Baylor did, but either one of those things. They don't take a dump.
Baylor's lost two home games now. I mean, it's hard to win the league when you win when you lose two home games in the league. It is. You know, and it just sometimes good things happen to you. You know, the camera the other night was right on the shot line for Christian Brown. That ball never looked like it was going in.
To the last second.
Absolutely looked like that's going to hit the right rim. Absolutely going to hit the right rim. And it goes in. It was like I was at the game where Bryce Drew made the shot on that famous play at the end for Valpo against Florida State. And I was courtside. And courtside, when he let it fly, you're like, that short, all the way, short, short, short. And it just sort of slithered over the front rim. And afterwards, I asked him about it. And, of course, he and his father are men of faith. And he goes, well, I guess we had a little help from above right there, because he thought it was short, too. But the Browns shot, sometimes good things happen to you. And I'm not saying K is a lucky team, but, that was a big deal.
You just wanted to work in the fact that you were there for Bryce Drew's shot and talk to him afterwards.
Yeah, it was cool.
Nice humble brag.
It was fun to be there.
By the way, I can't remember what comedian said it. I'm still waiting for the guy who's like, well, we were playing great until Jesus made us lose. why he's always, let's talk to the other guy if Jesus is the one who got that one.
I know. That's the thing that never makes much sense.
Yes. Anyway. I always think of that.
So, this game with K-State has a little bit of intrigue now because K-State's won a couple games in a row and they've been in every game. So
25 points.
Oh, I agree.
The game. This is the perfect game for K-State to go.
We'll see.
We will see. We will see because Kansas is still on a bumpy ride, and maybe K-State can steal it. I still see a path to the tournament for K-State, for crying out loud.
I agree with that.
Yeah. They need to get Baylor or Kansas along the way.
Right.
Here's their first shot.
This one would really be a big one to get.
Yes, no doubt. All right, Danny, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Let's say le bon temps roulet.
All right, what franchise has played the most NFL road playoff games without a win? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.